Hey, you know, Rachel, I love telling. Let's talk about Iowa for a second. I love people telling this because it blows their minds. Do you know what was at stake in Iowa?
Tell me.
Well, what was literally at stake? I mean, we know that the process is very confusing and we know the symbolism. We're all covering it as we should. But this is what was literally at stake. What all the caucuses and primaries are for is to allot delegates at the convention. A delegate is a person. Let's take one party, the Democratic Party. It's a Democrat. Sometimes it's a high-profile Democrat. Sometimes it's a local guy. Then they go at the convention and they vote for their candidates. There are about 4,000 Democratic candidates, delegates, meaning you need the votes of a little over 2,000 delegates to get the nomination. So yesterday in Iowa, do you know how many delegates were at stake?
How many?
45.
Really?
Yeah. Do you know what the difference in just delegate count between Obama and Clinton was?
No.
One delegate. So the difference, everything we're talking about is one 2,000th, one 4,000th of the pool, one 2,000th of what you need to get the nomination.
Wow.
And I thought of an analogy, which is take it to baseball, considering there were there's, nine innings to a game, approximately 150 to 200 pitches. The difference of one delegate out of 4,000 is less than one pitch in a game of baseball. It is actually about one pitch in a week's worth of baseball. So here we are looking at the news.
Okay, you kind of lost me, but that's just
What
me
I'm
and
saying is,
baseball.
let's say you were watching a game of baseball, and I said, on Tuesday in the sixth inning, the Mets are going to get a ball on the outside.
Okay.
Would you be able to tell me who would win most Met games that week?
No, that would
There'd be
seem to
no
not
way.
be able to
But this
indicate
is
that.
kind of what we're doing with Iowa. We're saying he won one out of 4,000 delegates. Ooh, it looks like he's going to get the nomination. It's a little crazy,
No,
but
and it's
that's
important
literally what's
context
going
because
on.
we tend to, overhype these things because we get excited. And it's a good story. And it is important in its
And
own right.
momentum counts. And another thing that counts are what the advocates and the bloggers are going to be saying. So right now, we have a conservative blogger and a liberal blogger. Eric Erickson is the editor of redstate.com. Eric, are you there? Oh, where's Eric? Eric's there. He's just
I'm
not saying
here.
hi. Oh, thanks, Eric. We didn't have you up. And we also have a liberal blogger named Bill Scher. He's for the Campaign for America's Future and Liberal Oasis. Hey, Bill, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
Good. So determine who goes first. I'm going to flip a coin. And Eric, since you are the, let's say, conservative Republican and your party is the home team, you're defending the White House, you get to call it in the air, okay?
All right.
Okay, so whoever wins, I talk to you first. Go ahead.
I'll call heads.
Yep. All right. You're on. Bill,
fair and balanced.
Bill, take a powder for a second. We'll get back to you in a second.
No problem.
All right, thanks, man. Eric, redstate.com. What are they saying over there on the blog?
Wow, the Romney people are thoroughly depressed today that their guy came in second. $10 million apparently gets you second place in a T-shirt in Iowa.
Yeah, pat on the backside. Thanks for playing. What about you? You blogged yourself, right? It's just so people.
I mean, forget the headlines. The guy who won Iowa last night was John McCain.
I saw that was your headline.
Okay,
how do you
explain
figure?
That? Yeah.
Well, in March of March of last year, we were running a Deadpool on John McCain. How much longer could he be in the race? He's had to take out a $3 million loan to get to New Hampshire. Now, all of a sudden, he used Mike Huckabee as his proxy in Iowa to knock out Mitt Romney. He does not like Mitt Romney. And Huckabee won. John McCain went to Iowa, didn't campaign for himself. He just talked up Mike Huckabee.
Right.
And now he's up in New Hampshire on a six-day tour. He's now where Mike Huckabee went to in the polls beating Mitt Romney. John McCain is duplicating that in New Hampshire against Mitt Romney. And it's next door to Mitt Romney's home state. Mitt Romney has a vacation house in the state. And all of a sudden, John McCain is beating him up in New Hampshire.
And Massachusetts politicians pretty much never lose the New Hampshire primary. Sometimes even when they're not running. I think in 1956, Henry Cabot Lodge won the New Hampshire primary.
There you go. Exactly. And all of a sudden, John McCain is doing it. And the problem is, frankly, although there's been a lot of talk about people saying that they wouldn't vote for a Mormon down south in Iowa and New Hampshire, the fact of the matter is Mormonism has nothing to do with it. People just don't trust Mitt Romney, and this is starting to come out in the polls. If you look at the entrance polling data as opposed to exit polling data in Iowa, people who said they were voting based on trust split evenly between Huckabee and Fred Thompson.
There is something, perhaps, to argue for Mitt Romney, and this is just something I figured out by looking
at— He's rich.
Yeah, but this is here's a result from Iowa that maybe he could hang his hat on. I was looking at maps, and it turns out there are six counties in Iowa with more than 100,000 people. And wouldn't you know that Mitt Romney won four out of those six? So Mike Huckabee has this rural base, but as we go to less rural places, maybe Mitt Romney is more appeal. What do you think of that?
Well, you know, he spent a lot of money organizing those urban and suburban hubs,
yes.
$10 million worth. So I would expect him to do well there. And also, I think the evangelical tie-ins that Mike Huckabee had play much better in rural areas than urban areas. So, yeah, he's got that. But, I mean, if you look at where we're going to be shaping up the races in the next few weeks, you're going to have Florida, South Carolina, New Hampshire, and Michigan. While there are some massive urban hubs there, you got a lot of rural space in all of them.
Is there a debate on the – there's always a debate on the blog, but is there a debate about who the front runner is?
I think – well, the Romney people are still saying Romney, and virtually everyone else, including the Huckabee people, are admitting it's John McCain right now.
Mm. Now, on redstate.com, you know, we always talk about horse race, and it's important to talk about who's going to win. But give me a policy. Is anyone talking about a policy like, I don't know, Huckabee won by emphasizing this policy, or McCain will win by emphasizing that policy? What did they say about policy?
There were two big things. One was the trust issue, which isn't really policy, but it's overarching. The other really is immigration, and that's why a lot of people still think McCain's going to have a tough time, and why it give someone like Fred Thompson an opening here. McCain and Thompson are virtually the same candidate, except on the issue of immigration. And McCain's going to have a tough time down south. Immigration is still the big issue in the Republican Party right now. The other big issue is generally economics, because there are a lot of us, including myself, who believe that the economic conservatives are more likely to cut a deal with the Democratic nominee than with the Republicans if Mike Huckabee's the nominee. They're more likely to bolt than the social guys if Mike Huckabee's the nominee.
In 30 seconds, and then we'll take a break, come back with a little more of you. But the tone of your postings about the Democrats, it seems like you have much less of a problem personally with Barack Obama than you do with Edwards, who you talk about his hair, and there were some snipes. But Hillary, you had a picture of Hillary as Ding Dong, the witch is dead.
You know, it's this overarching Clinton thing, and I think it's shared by a lot of Democrats, as we saw in Iowa last night, and Republicans. I mean, the Clintons are the invulnerable, invincible people, and yet they got beat last night in Iowa, and that just kind of feels good. Whether or not it goes on that way, I still think she's going to be the nominee, but whether or not it goes on that way, she actually can bleed.
Eric Erickson of redstate.com, hang with us for a minute. We'll come back to you and Bill Scheer. I think, Bill, you're still there. Hang with us. We'll be back in a little while on the Bryant Park Project. We're back on the BPP talking to our liberal and conservative bloggers. Eric Erickson does redstate.com. Redstate, get it. It's a conservative blog. And Bill Scheer is a blogger for Liberal Oasis. He also wrote Wait, Don't Move to Canada. Great title for a book. Eric, one more question for you, then I want to bring Bill on and ask both of you guys a question once. And the question for you, Eric, is one of the bloggers on Red State had a pretty interesting posting where he said, mea culpa, I apologize. I once said that I would never vote for anyone who was pro-choice, as Rudy Giuliani is. But this poster says, you know, I dislike Huckabee so much, I would kind of hold my nose and vote for a Rudy Giuliani if it meant that Huckabee wouldn't get the nomination. Can you talk about that, the role of abortion, or just, you know, maybe even if Rudy Giuliani is still working out there and very much buzzed about on redstate.com?
Well, you know, there are a lot of guys, including myself, who consider ourselves pro-life, and have always said we would never vote for a pro-choice candidate. And that may not be the overarching issue for us, but it is a principled issue. But Huckabee is such a disaster economically. He's to the left of Hillary Clinton on a lot of economic issues, at least in his rhetoric, although a lot of people say he's going to talk left, govern right, like Clinton talk right and govern left. He scares a lot of people. He does not have a good track record in Arkansas. And so people are very willing to jump ship to someone like Giuliani, who they feel safe with on every issue but one, versus Mike Huckabee, who they feel safe with on one issue and feel uncomfortable with all the others. But by the way, apparently Chris Dodd has withdrawn from the Democratic nomination. Was he running for president?
Zing! Bill, you want to get him on a Tancredo? Zing!
Hey, Dodd, right
Tancredo, Sam Brownback.
Let's bring in
Hunter Allen Keyes. Where
where should I go?
This is, that voice is Bill Sharon. Here's the question I want to ask both you guys, and since we've been talking to Eric all along, Bill, I'll put it to you first. And it's a question about the importance of blogs. We've been told so much what a big role blogs are going to play. Are they actually playing as big a role as we've been promised in the estimation of both of you gentlemen? Bill, what do you think?
Yes and no. All the candidates have online operations now. It's like there was one candidate that was the blogger candidate and used that to win. Every candidate needed to have a perch in the blogosphere and the online community to help get their message out and talk to people in a way that they can't do through traditional mediums. And I think Obama and Huckabee were both very good at that, Obama more so. But also there's, on the left side of things, there were a lot of bloggers with strong readerships that weren't enthralled with Obama and were much more interested in John Edwards and thought that his sharper edge rhetoric was what was needed. And just because a handful of well-trafficked blogs say that doesn't automatically mean that that opinion is going to translate through the entire primary electorate.
I get it. So blogs are valuable voices, but they don't actually dictate voting preferences. Eric, how do you see it over there on the red side of things?
Yeah, I tend to agree with that. By and large, I think candidate blogs are more worthless than just a roll of toilet paper. I mean, you don't.
Oh, think that could be very valuable given the circumstances.
Yeah,
but go on.
Absolutely. They're full of it. but the independent blogs on the left and the right, I think they serve as rallying cries for the online base of both parties, and they may be good tools later. But right now, I will say the interesting thing is the left has done a much better job of the right. We're also hand-wringing over our side. At least on the Democratic side, folks have really centered around the top three candidates. On the right, we've got five or six guys, all of whom we think all suck, and yet we're still left with them.
All right, Eric Erickson of RedState.com. Thanks a lot, Eric.
Thanks
for joining us. Bill, you're here with me now.
Thanks so much.
All right, who do you think the front runner is now? Or who do the people who are on Liberal Oasis think the front runner is now?
I think the Democratic Party in general, the liberal blogosphere in general, blog writers, blog readers, people have their preferences, but there isn't necessarily a broad and deep antipathy towards any of the leading Democratic candidates. So my expectation always was whoever broke out of the pack first was going to get the bandwagon effect and run the table. And I think Obama's ability to not just reach out to independents and some Republicans, but to do it in a way that still stuck to principle. Some bloggers don't like the bipartisanship rhetoric. They think it's very empty. They think it can undercut the party in the end. But Obama was able to do that, still talking about core principles, still talking about universal health care, solving the climate crisis, ending the occupation, direct diplomacy with Iran, and still brought independence. That's going to be a very strong selling point, and it's going to be very hard for another opponent to make an argument why he shouldn't be the front runner right now.
We just heard Eric Erickson say about the guy who just won Iowa, Mike Huckabee. He called his economic policies a disaster. Is there on any prominent liberal blogs, is anyone saying stuff that harsh about Obama?
No, absolutely not. And I think you're seeing a much broader sense of unity on the left right now than you're seeing on the right. Edwards, Clinton, Obama all had universal health care plans, all wanted to solve the climate crisis by capping greenhouse gas emissions, all said they're going to end the occupation. So you have a broad mandate that not only on the base of the party, but bringing independents are an economic populism and a real break in foreign policy. On the Republican side, you got splits in these areas. Mike Huckabee, as I think he is indicating, he has a lot of liberal economic populist themes, not necessarily policies, but themes. He talked about Bush having an arrogant bunker mentality abroad. Mm-hmm. Now, that doesn't speak to the majority of the Republican Party and the conservative base, but clearly a piece of it.
And you know what the Republicans said, which is they leveled at him the greatest insult a Republican could. He sounds like a Democrat.
He sounds like a Democrat. Yeah. He won Iowa, amongst a lot of social conservatives. He won among people that call themselves conservatives, even though he was running on liberal-sounding themes. This is really rocking the foundations of the conservative movement, and a win for Huckabee was going to be the worst for them. It brings up all of these fractures that they've been very good at papering over and finding common ground over the last, say, 20 years. Now it's breaking apart again.
Bill, on the blogs, is 75-80% of the discussion going on within the liberal community about tactics and horse race? Are there still pretty prominent discussions about differences in, say, Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton's health care? Is everyone really just concentrating on how to win this thing as opposed to how to govern this thing, meaning America?
Well, there isn't a lot of emphasis on their differences in policy because the differences in policy aren't that big.
Yeah.
So they haven't been – the media hasn't focused on them. It's more about style and tone and tactic, which I don't think is great. I'd rather see a deeper discussion of where they stand on policy, but it is what it is. And therefore, you had a debate – you know, Atreus, one of the top bloggers, that said – you know, it sums up as Hillary Clinton, you know, I know how to work within the system. Barack Obama, I can change the system because it will melt before my awesomeness. And John Edwards saying, I'm going to beat the hell out of the system until it succumbs to me. And that was kind of where the race stood. And Obama's personal characteristics and ability to combine the style with the substance gave him the edge in Iowa. And it's hard to see, you know, how this would play out any differently in any other state.
Is there anything we should look for, maybe people who are interested but not on these things and blogging themselves and adding comments, any kind of movement we should look for, maybe a prominent blog getting more behind Obama? You know, give me some sense of where to find blogmentum.
You know, blogmentum happens earlier in a race, not later in a race. You know, candidates who aren't getting a fair share of time from the mainstream media can go to blogs very early and prove that their message has some traction, that they have vocal support, and they can help them raise early money. And that can get the mainstream media to start paying attention and give them a broader platform. At this stage of the game, an individual blogger's support is not very relevant. More people are paying attention now. The media spotlight is broader. So I don't think blogs have that much to play as far as an individual candidate getting a neck up. They have a role to play as far as helping broaden and amplify a message, not so much in the horse race.
Our job is done. Now the people must take it from here. Bill Scher, liberal blogger for Campaign for America's Future and Liberal Oasis, and author of Wait, Don't Move to Canada. Thanks a lot, Bill.
Thank you so much.